Shall we pray as we come to look at this together? Let's ask for God's help. Lord, thank you that you are so faithful and that you speak and you've got a word for each of us tonight. Open our hearts to receive it. Help me now in all my weakness to preach your word and be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Finish the task, complete the race. Finish the task, complete the race. Last weekend, a family friend called Sam was running the Ironman race in Germany. That race is over 140 miles long. 140 miles long. Over 2 miles swim, 112 miles bicycle ride, over 26 miles running. From start to finish, 140 miles. I think it took our friend 9 hours and 40 minutes. Can you imagine that? It's not just about being fit. He is mega fit. But it's about a mind game. The mind game is all about keeping going. It is a mental fight. It's determination to the end. The mindset is this: finish the race, complete the task. Finish the race, complete the task. Well, those words came from our reading tonight. That's what we get from the Apostle Paul in our passage tonight. And we get inside Paul's head. And he pours out his heart to this bunch of church leaders. And he encourages them to keep going in leading God's people. And he shares his determination as a follower of Jesus. Verse 24 of chapter 20, Paul says, My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me. That's a great motto for life, isn't it? Whoever you are, whatever age you are, or whatever you're doing right now, whether you're at school studying or at home with the kids or at work like Barney, whether you're a leader in church or Sunday school or a leader in the community or a neighbor or a mother or a father or a friend, what a motto. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. Finish the race, complete the task. That is Paul's aim for life. And Paul is encouraging this bunch of church leaders called elders to give themselves wholeheartedly to do the same in their role as leaders of this local new church in Ephesus. He's told them he'll never see them again. And he won't see them again in this life, but the life to come. And he's like looking them in the eyes. He's giving them the eyeball like this. Look at me. Listen to me. At this passage in Acts 20 is the ultimate team talk and team huddle. He's getting these new convert church leaders together in the huddle, and he stirs them up and he sets them on their way to help them persevere as leaders of God's church. And he does that by helping them to see what it's been like for him. As Paul, the apostle, as he's run the race and fulfilling the task God's given him in Ephesus, he gives us the inside track on his race. That's the first thing we're going to see. The inside track on Paul's race. And it's fascinating in Ephesians, in Ephesus. Did you spot the clear task that he felt compelled to do? We've seen it already. I consider my life worth nothing. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now, what did that involve for Paul in Ephesus? What did it look like to run that race, to keep on that track, that inside track for Paul in Ephesus? He was there for 3 years in Ephesus. What did he do? Well, he kept telling them again and again about God's grace, the gospel. He was involved with teaching and preaching, preaching and teaching the word of God. Teaching and preaching the word of God. There in verse 20, have a look. You know that I would not hesitate to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. Verse 21, he's declared the gospel to all people, Jew and Greek. Verse 27, he's not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. If you look back in chapter 19, verses 8 to 10, you see an example of that. Have a look with me. Chapter 19, he's just arrived in Ephesus. Verse 8 to 10, look at what he's doing. He does what he usually does. Paul enters a synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. He's preaching the word. But some of them were obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him. He had discussions there in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. He speaks boldly the good news of God's word, the gospel in the synagogue. He goes to a place, Tyrannus' hall. He preaches it there so everyone can hear the good news of God's grace. And we see in verse 10, this went on for 2 years. He's in Tyrannus' hall, preaching and teaching these Jews and Gentiles about Jesus. Now, Paul's priority in running the race and completing the task was to teach and preach the word of God. That's got to be our priority. That's got to be my priority as a leader in this church and all that we do to preach and teach the word of God, of God's grace, to as many people as we can. And as he does this preaching, teaching, extraordinary things happen. Look at chapter 19, verse 12. Verse 11, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had been touched by him were taken to those who were ill, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Extraordinary. As the Lord broke in by his spirit and his word into this new territory, these extraordinary signs and wonders happened. Handkerchiefs, aprons that touched Paul were taken to people and they were healed. Extraordinary. As Paul preaches and teaches the message in Ephesus, it was actually costly. As he wholeheartedly lived for Jesus, running the race, completing the task. You see, there were tears. There was upset. Look at chapter 20, verse 19. It says, I serve the Lord with great humility and with tears. Friends, it wasn't easy to be all out for Jesus, to run the race for Jesus. He knew it would involve opposition and hostility and danger. He faced severe testing by the plots of his Jewish enemies. Now, Paul preached and taught publicly, wholeheartedly. It was costly, involved tears and opposition, but he kept on preaching and teaching the word. And his schedule was relentless. He did it night and day. Look at chapter 20, verse 31. So be on your guard. Remember, for 3 years, I have never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Relentless. Night and day preaching. In fact, there's a great little story you might not have come across before. Back in chapter 20, he leaves the region and he goes somewhere else and he preaches in the night. Have a look at it in verses 9 to 12. Of chapter 20. Verse 9 to 12. Seated in a window where Paul was preaching, a young man called Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. As Paul talked on and on. It's familiar? When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. Don't be alarmed, he said. He's alive. He went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Of course they were. He preached day and night. An extraordinary episode with Eutychus. In fact, I'm in a preaching group looking at preaching, and the book we're reading at the moment is called Saving Eutychus, How to Keep People Awake When You're Preaching. It's a great read. It's a great read. It's a great read. But extraordinary things happened when Paul preached, when he went to Troas. Day and night he taught the word. And he preached it publicly and privately. Have a look at verse 20 in chapter 20. You know that I would not hesitate to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. Publicly and privately, Paul taught the word of the Lord. He kept testifying to the goodness of God in a public address and one-to-one from people's houses. What a task. And he did it without financial gain. Have a look at verse 34. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul worked hard. He supported himself. He gave himself for the good of others, for the weak. He was wholehearted. Now, lots of this is unique to Paul, but loads to learn from Paul's approach to the way he ran the race in Ephesus. The priority of preaching and teaching the word with a heart of humility and with tears, expecting tough times to come, but pressing on, working hard for the weak. That's what an authentic ministry looks like. Paul's inside track. His inside track. As a minister for the Lord. What was the task for the Ephesian elders? As he shares with the Ephesian elders his ministry in Ephesus, he wants them to follow his pattern. They are different to Paul. He is an apostle, but they have lots to copy. And he gives them clear instructions about what they are to do. It's there in verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. He calls them to look after Jesus' blood-bought sheep. Every believer is precious. You're so precious to the Lord tonight if you know Christ. You've been bought by his blood. And the task of these Ephesian elders is to look after, to keep watch over this sheep, this flock, the local church. Paul's task was to bring the message. He preached it. Their task was to keep it and be faithful to it and look after the flock and to proclaim it. And it won't be easy, Paul says. Just as he faced opposition and tears, so it'd be hard for the church of God and its leaders. Have a look at verse 29 to 31 of chapter 20. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Paul says that the leaders and the church should expect false teachers, savage wolves, to come among them. Jesus said the same. Paul says it happens. And don't be surprised when it happens. What to do? We know that wolves and sheep don't go well together. I've got no experience of wolves and sheep. I've got too much experience of foxes and chickens. Picking up dead heads and bodies in absolute agony, because I struggle to do that, as you know. It is ferocious, it is vicious, it is harsh. And Paul warns them to keep watch over the flock because savage wolves will come in. And they'll look like sheep, but they'll destroy the church, often from the inside out. So friends, don't be surprised when you see Christian leaders and ministers who look like sheep, teaching and preaching a different gospel and a different message. Jesus said it would happen. Paul warns it would happen. Culture might love them, but they'll take people away from the gospel that leads to life. It's eternally disastrous. So Paul says, be on your guard when you go off to uni or move to a new area. Make sure that the church you go to teaches the Bible faithfully and is unashamed of Jesus and his teaching and the apostles' teaching. You see, how are these leaders, the Ephesians, to stick, to keep guard of themselves and the church? Well, they're to stick with the teaching and the preaching they've received from Paul. That's what Paul, before God, commits them to. In verse 32, can you see what he says? I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. What does God's word do? It can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. God's word keeps us, and as we trust and believe it, we know that we're secure and saved and ready for heaven amongst those who've been made sanctified, who've been set apart by God. Paul is like passing the baton on to them as he heads off to Jerusalem, knowing that he will never see them again. And he calls these leaders to follow his example, to keep watch of themselves, to keep watch of the flock, to be committed to God's word of grace that keeps us on the right track. It's a challenge for them as leaders, isn't it, back then? It's a challenge for me as a leader, for anyone involved in leadership here, to hold fast to the word of God that keeps, to finish the race, to complete the task that's been given to him and them and to us. Loads to learn for all of us. Lots to learn. Verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. What about us? What is the challenge for us tonight? There's loads we could say, loads we've already said. But I've prepared this passage this week. This has been really on my heart. And parts of this passage have been such a help to me pastorally this week. Now the first thing is this. Start the race. This whole section begins back in chapter 19, verse 1, with Paul meeting a bunch of people who were called disciples of John. That's John the Baptist, whose job was to get people ready for the coming of Jesus. They'd been baptized by him as a picture of being ready for the coming of Jesus, and yet they had not yet come to a living faith in Jesus. They'd been surrounded by the truth of God's words, and yet not committed themselves to Christ. They'd not put their faith in Christ. They'd not yet received the Spirit. Look at verse 2 and 3. And Paul asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we've not yet heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked them, what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, of getting ready. So he told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. And they believe and they're baptized and they receive the Spirit. They were surrounded by Christian truth, but they'd not yet grasped the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to take that step to believe in the one coming after him, to believe in Jesus. And they did. And they received the Spirit as they were baptized. Friends, many of us might have received Christian truth all our lives. You might have been baptized as a baby or had a Thanksgiving service, and yet you've not yet taken the step to begin the race for yourself and become a Christian. Do it. Begin the race. It is the only way to be saved from the hell we deserve for our sin and to be saved for new life and relationship with Jesus now and forever. We need the new birth. We need resurrection life. The story of Eutychus dying and being brought back to life is a real story, but a great picture, isn't it, of what we are like spiritually dead, needing resurrection by the Spirit of God. Why not take that step tonight? I was with a guy this week who was about to die. I was asked to go and see him. And he was terrified of death. And actually, death is terrifying without Christ. And as I was sitting with him, these words kept coming to me from Paul. When he talks about, I'm innocent of the blood of any of them. That is, he told them all they need to know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in my head, I was thinking, Steve, you need to be innocent of this man's blood before he dies. share the gospel with him. And I had the joy of sharing the gospel with him and his wife. His wife said to me, what about this heaven and hell stuff? Which is a great question to ask. But actually, I called this guy and said, it's not too late. You're in a breath of dying. But if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. It's never too late to turn to Jesus. Do it now, I said, before it's too late. You don't know if you're going to be alive tomorrow. Do it before it's too late. And that's true for us. We don't know if we're going to be alive tomorrow. Turn to Christ tonight. I don't know what happened. We prayed. I've been praying for him ever since. I don't know if he's been saved, if he's died. I don't know what happened. But God could save him like that. Friends, start the race. This glorious race before it's too late. Or maybe you need to take the next step of being baptized. Show that, you belong to Jesus and obey him. We're having a baptism instead of 2 weeks tonight. Or if you've been baptized, get confirmed. We've got Bishop Will coming in November. Confirm your faith. Say, I'm a Christian. I'm following Jesus. I'm all in. Publicly proclaim your faith. That's what these believers did. Maybe for some of us tonight, we need to start the race. What about for everyone else here? What's the challenge? Well, I wonder, what is your aim? What is the purpose of your life? What are you doing? I'm kind of stoked by Paul's words tonight that he spoke. He said, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Finish the race, complete the task. Friends, sometimes I get weary and I have to sing, give me joy in my heart, keep me serving. But Steve Rees, finish the race, complete the task he's given you. Whoever you are, put your name in that space. Keep running the race, keep living for Christ, keep showing Christ in the way you live and speak. It is a glorious task we have as a church and as individuals on our front lines. Testify to the goodness of God's grace. It is a beautiful truth to live by. Our purpose, to live for Jesus in the way I live and work and study, to be a witness to God's grace. It's not just sharing the gospel, it's living the gospel. Isn't it great to hear Barney talk about how careful he is in the language he uses? He wants to live a holy life online, living a godly life for Jesus. Not just passing the message on, which we've got to do, but living and speaking for Christ on your front lines. Maybe you've lost focus tonight, friends. Maybe you're flagging. You need encouragement to keep on keeping on. Why not sharpen your focus in life as a follower of Jesus and make Paul's aim your aim? My only aim as a mum, as a child, as a student, as a worker, as a neighbour, is to finish the race. Complete the task of living for Jesus and testifying to his grace. Let me show you a picture of our friend Sam. There he is last week in Hamburg, finishing the race. And he's a Christian lad. Whenever he walks and runs across the finish line, he always puts his hands together like this, because he wants to give thanks to God that he's finished 140 miles. Isn't that beautiful? Thanks be to God. I finished the race. I can go and lie in a heap somewhere and eat Mars bars. But what a great picture for us. It's because of Jesus that we're on the race, through his death and resurrection for us. And we're called to keep running it as leaders, as Christians, as workers, keeping the word the priority, preaching and teaching it and living it. May I, by the Spirit of God, be inspired to begin or to continue to run the race of faith until we see Jesus and finish the race. All glory to him. All glory to Jesus. Let me pray. Lord, these chapters in Ephesians are extraordinary, and Ephesus are extraordinary. The growth of the church, the faithfulness of Paul in preaching, even in the face of opposition, he kept preaching. The way your word spread and transformed lives. The way that after 3 years, there were leaders for a local church that Paul could speak to. We're amazed at what you did by your spirit there. And we pray, Lord Jesus, as Paul pours out his heart to these Ephesian elders, you'll help us to be stirred up by the heart of the apostle, to keep pressing on, to keep running the race of testifying to the grace of God. Lord, maybe tonight some of us need to come to know Christ. Would we take that step and say, Lord Jesus, I invite you in, change my life. I've been messing around. Come in now and forgive me, help me to live for you. Pray that many would do that tonight for the first time. And pray for everybody else that we'd be renewed and woken up and shaken up to live our lives for the only thing that matters. The only thing that lasts for eternity. Stir us up, empower us by your Spirit, and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.